Adam and Joe on 99.9 The Fan. Now, joining the Adam and Joe Show from New York City, ESPN's Bomani Jones.
I just like hearing David Bowie. Bomani Jones joining us from New York. High noon, weekdays, 4 o'clock on ESPN, and of course, the Right Time podcast. How much have you guys talked about the Duke Blue Devils' display against Kentucky so far this week?
I mean, as much as I have talked about college basketball on a national broadcast outside of the NCAA tournament in the 5 years I've been working full-time with this company.
Is it me?
Seriously, like you got to understand, the thing about college basketball is as a topic, it's like baseball. It works local, but not so much national.
Yeah.
And we're all in on Duke and Zion. Like, we are here for this. So, yeah, right. No, we've talked plenty.
But wasn't Tuesday night in Indianapolis more about John Calipari looking at the other bench going, I remember when I used to get guys like you?
No, it's not even I remember when I used to get guys like you. I remember when I used to get you guys.
Like, you.
The thing about Cal, yeah, the thing about Cal, and I think this happens kind of overall, where he lost on a few, but these guys, when they're at the top of the game, they have a run where they don't miss. Like, after Delvon Roe backdoored and told Roy he wasn't coming, Roy would have lined up three classes and didn't have anybody tell him no, and that was basically in like a month that all of that happened, right? Like, guys get on those rolls. Cal got on a roll like that also. Krzyzewski hit it where he got the top three guys in the same year, and what kills Cal is not simply that he got them, is that Cal really, really tried to get the dudes and did not. Like, he swung and he missed, and that is perhaps as agonizing as anything else for him.
He's probably looking at Zion Williamson because Duke was like, there's no way we're getting you.
Yeah,
and he
shocked.
Went there anyway. And that has to be, I mean, that was unreal. But I guess the real question coming out of Tuesday on top of the Cal thing is, could they beat the Cavaliers? I mean, it's been a very hot ESPN topic. Can you please talk to some of your higher-ups to make this not be a thing?
Oh, goodness, man.
Why do people talk about this?
Yeah, why did Paul Pierce say it? Why is Will Cain talking about it? What's going on?
Why?
And that's as much as them just like with Paul, I think he's just bagging on the Cavs as much as anything else. Look, we had a topic on the show today as to whether or not Bama would cover the 28.5-point spread that the Bills would have if Bama played Bama. And I actually do believe that they would cover. They would not win, but they would cover because the Bills can't score 29 points.
Well, is Nathan Peterman quarterback?
And if he's not, it's Derek Anderson. And if he's not, it's Josh Allen. If we ever threw Josh Allen out against the Alabama defense, I wouldn't care who he's throwing the ball to. We wouldn't think he'd get no 29 points.
Maybe if the Bills couldn't score 29, they probably couldn't get there. But Bomani Jones is joining us. Real quick about Duke's team. We've seen great freshman performances. Marvin Bagley, I believe, had 35 in this game a year ago. Is there something different that we can see about this particular team, you think, than some of the past last couple of Duke teams that have been put together?
Well, they just seem to be more physically talented than the teams that we have seen previously. Even that team that won the national championship, I would say Winslow's the only one that we would have categorized as perhaps being a great athlete, of the young guys they had on that team. And Justice Winslow was just in a different, like, he's not in the class of athleticism that Zion Williamson is going to be in. What I want to see, though, with this team, and I don't think enough was made of this coming out of that game, R.J. Barrett scored 33 points, but that was on 26 shots. Like, I don't think anybody else in that game took half as many shots as he did. Let's see how that evolves. Because one thing about Krzyzewski is you ain't going to be the one taking all the shots unless the plan is for you to take all the shots. Like, J.J. Redick in 2006, the plan was for you to take all the shots. I don't think the plan is for R.J. Barrett to take all the shots.
Bomani Jones joining us from New York. You can catch High Noon on the old show. High Noon on ESPN at 4 o'clock. Also, the Right Time podcast on ESPN. All right, so last night, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Carolina Panthers played what was supposed to be a pretty competitive contest. It's not that the Panthers lost the game. Anybody can see that, especially on the road. They're kind of similar offensively, kind of similar defensively. It's that they got destroyed. Everything that was bad about the Panthers was magnified. Offensive line play, shaky defensive play, a Cam Newton mistake, which didn't really bury them in the grand scheme of things, but it was there early on. You take anything from that game last night?
I mean, it's borderline impossible to win a game on the road on Thursday night against a good team. Like, yeah. But you said it, man. They got smoked, and I did not. Like, I thought the offensive line had been better this year than it had been in previous years. Like,
they had going into the game last night. The Panthers were fourth in sacks allowed, but T.J. Watt. I don't know if you know who's J.J. Watt's relative. I heard that yesterday. But he got what he wanted. On the edges, they gave up everything. And Cam should not have been playing in the fourth quarter, but there he was.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't understand that at all. I really took that as I'm looking at the Steelers, and the Steelers had the question about them coming in this year was their defense. Like, that's mm-hmm. what we were all not sure about them was with their defense. Their defense in the last 5 weeks or so has been really, really good. And if their defense is good, they might be the best team in the AFC because yep. lost in all of this, the Chiefs' defense is really bad. Yep. Really, really bad. And so if they have a game where they're just not great, then a team like the Steelers can beat them in the playoffs.
Oh, I think the Steelers can move the ball on anybody. I don't think there's any question.
And when they get Le'Veon Bell back, right? Right?
How do you think that play? Le'Veon Bell's not going to report, is he?
I don't understand what he's doing. Like, that's the tricky thing about this for me with him is, you know, it's been reported, and I don't know if this is true, that his agent didn't even realize this quirk of the franchise tag until reading it, which would be, like, sign number one that you need to fire your agent. I don't know. Like, I could see the argument for him playing in the beginning of the year. I think we saw the argument for him playing. Just, you know, don't come until you have to, da-da-da, all of this stuff. Now it would seem that he would not show up, but I feel like watching James Conner go into the tunnel with that concussion should have been a clear sign as to why the Steelers might want to hope he shows up. Like, you can't ever have too many good players.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could play them both at the same time. You just line Le'Veon up in the slot, and it would be a massive headache for
Or you just bring him off the bench. Like, two running backs is good to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think Le'Veon Bell's going to complain coming off the bench because his whole point, the reason why he hasn't played, is to save himself for the contract he wants. So why put more wear on yourself?
There was a time later in his career where LaDainian Tomlinson was just a third down back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Bomani Jones joining us.
Catch it.
Oh yeah, no, I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. Going back to the Panthers for a hot minute. Bomani Jones joining us from ESPN. Eric Reed was tossed from the game last night, and while I don't disagree with the ejection, I think what most people are screaming is, hey, some consistency. Last week, Cam Newton got hit in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer game, and that win, there was nothing that occurred in that situation. So a little consistency, but when you dig a little deeper, you see that Eric Reed's getting no benefit of the doubt, whether it's reversed INTs from New York, a fine from his incident with Zach Ertz. No flags were thrown last night when people were trying to defend Ben Roethlisberger, right? That was not the case when Eric Reed got into that situation. And then we come to find out he's been drug tested randomly 5 times in a row. I'm not saying
that's bad luck,
but that's not a good look.
I have to say, I disagreed on the ejection. That was a letter of the law thing. But let me ask you, when you saw that play, did you immediately think an ejection was like, oh, my God, he might get ejected? I did not consider the possibility of ejection until it sounded like somebody got in Joe Buck's ear to tell him that this might be an ejection.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they said it's an ejection. So for that to be an ejection, to me, what we are basically saying is if a quarterback slides and you still hit him, that this is an ejection. And you had never thought before that rule was written as absolutely as it was. So that dude for the Falcons got ejected for hitting Cam Newton. And
KZ,
that was far more egregious than this.
Yes,
that was the Andrew Luck play.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield, nothing happened. Cam Newton last week, nothing happened. Al Riveron tried to explain away what happened with the Bucs and the Panthers versus what we saw last night in this Pittsburgh Steeler-Panther game by talking about incidental versus forcible. I thought it was incidental, but if you're going to go by letter of the law, okay, fine, I get it. I just asked for consistency.
Yeah, I asked for consistency, and I also think that they need to consider that as a defensive player, if a quarterback is running up the middle of the field, basically the way these rules are being treated, you have to assume he's going to slide. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to have a guy run past you. So, like, you right. might assume it for Drew Brees or somebody like that because, yeah, those guys are going to hit the ground because they don't want no part of that business. Dudes can't assume that with Cam Newton. They don't assume that with Cam Newton, and they seem to get the benefit of the doubt of it when they do actually hit him and he makes one of these slides. So, yeah, there needs to be a measure of consistency, but as you said also, man, it's worth noting that interception that got overturned, that call came from New York.
Yep.
This play that happened here with Reed, that call came from New York. These things aren't happening on the field, and they've all been a bit suspect.
Yeah, look, taken individually, you can understand it, but taken as a whole, as a group, you start to raise an eyebrow. Real quick on the hit, if Reed doesn't hit Roethlisberger in the head with his shoulder pad, it's not an ejection. I think that's why the ejection.
It's a letter of the law.
Letter of the law.
When it's convenient
ejection.
For the league.
Bomani Jones is joining us. I think we could all see this coming from a million miles away, but Carmelo Anthony and the Houston Rockets are not playing well on either end of the court. The offense is not there. The defense is bad. Huh. I don't think we could see this coming.
Yeah, I tell you this, though. I don't know if the problem is Melo or the problem is the fact that Chris Paul is old, man. Chris Paul, this is year 14 for Chris Paul. They're on the hook, I believe, though, for five more seasons of paying him exorbitant amounts of money. But, I mean, Chris Paul is shooting 39% from the field. He is shooting 27% from three. Before we get down to talking about Melo, we got to talk about what's happening at the top of this roster. And they haven't been good there. They're not playing good defense. And Mike D'Antoni, I mean, none of us, like, we thought his time had passed.
Right.
Like, this isn't just a super-duper untouchable coach that they've got there. That being said, James Harden, you realize he's shooting 40% from three on 10 threes a game? He's so
That's
good,
not bad.
As much as I hate it.
How many flops a game is it?
No, far too many. I hate everything about his game, but he's so good.
So, you and Pablo talk about NC State's loss to Wake Forest last night at all?
Man, much more NC State did it get to that than that one? And
yep.
I don't even think that Dorn made a bad decision in going for it.
No,
try
no,
to put this
absolutely
game
not.
Away.
Yeah.
Look, you got to make you got to catch the ball.
Yeah, NC State, man. Like this just continues to happen. And I know that every school's got to feel that way, but mm-hmm. it continues to happen.
See, you've lived it a little bit when you were here, and that way you can advocate to other people about what that's what that's all about. Bomani Jones, before we let you go, any birthday wishes for Hayes Permar, who turned 40 today?
I may be offering him some birthday wishes very, very soon. But the thing that I always say about this, man, it's a true story. I used to meet with Hayes about once a year. Hayes would call me. We'd go out to dinner. We'd sit down and talk. And his thing always was, well, hey, man, one day I'm going to try to put together a TV show in some sort, and I would like to do a show with you. And even if I wasn't ready, we would meet about once a year to talk about what these things would be. And, like, we did, we did a pilot on something once, and then we did mm-hmm. those YouTube videos together. But, like, that was the first person who ever, like, really took seriously the idea about, hey, we need to get this dude on TV and we can do something around it. Like, he is a Dr. A, Series A investor in the stuff that I have done. And, like, I can't tell you, man, for me, that's a huge deal.
I'm sure you saw the story this week about the 69-year-old man who wants to reclassify as a 45-year-old.
Yes.
Hayes would want to reclassify to what, 25?
22.
Yeah, maybe, man, but he's like me. He's going to need some of that hair to come back in order to make that happen.
Just shave it, man. Just cut, bring it home. Come home.
Speaking of hairstyles, after your Halloween bit, is the goatee permanently gone?
No. Guys, coming back as soon as possible. My goodness.
Okay.
Like, I'm never doing that again, man. People are looking at me like I turned into a whole different human being.
You
like,
did?
Just like, yo, man, can y'all chill out? Y'all are making me a bit tough.
Gold showed up. What is it? You showed up as Mr. Clean 1 year?
Yeah, with completely shaved the goatee off.
Dude,
I'm going to do it again.
Never again.
Soon.
No, never
I'm
again.
I'm going to do it again.
You're not allowed.
Yeah.
You are not allowed.
I'm going to do it one more time.
That was the creepiest thing, man.
My wife didn't like it. She did not like it, but I'm going to do
that's
it.
That's all it takes.
That is true.
Hey, man, that's why I've now grown out the beard, because Kelly's like, no.
Got to clear it with the people in charge. Yep. But, Monty, have a good weekend, man.
All right, man. You guys be good.
We'll talk to you next week.